Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, September 14th of 2020. And I'm your host for this evening, the Miracle Man himself. And I'm so glad to be with you tonight. We've got a lot of stuff to discuss tonight, between the rally I went to and some other things. And football is back, so we'll be discussing that. We'll be having a little Football Central, including tonight I'm going to predict Midland High's record. Tomorrow night I'm going to predict Dow High's record. And then Wednesday, of course, those will be added to my weekly football picks. You say, well, Miracle Man, you went to Midland. Why are you picking Midland first? I did that because to try to market something or something that makes it sound cool, I think Midland Monday, where Dow doesn't have that same thing for a different day. So that's kind of why I did that. So I'm picking Midland tonight. I'm going to pick Dow tomorrow night. You say, with a 6-game season, do you expect one of the two to have a season that is like 3-3? Well, who knows? That's one of the things we're going to talk about tonight. One up. Along with a couple of football discussions. Discussion is like where I tell you something and then give you my take on, I'll give you my take on two different things when it comes to the football tonight. One is, how do I feel about the whole kneeling thing? Number two, how do I feel about what the MHSAA is doing regarding capacity, fans, games, and how would I do it? This is assuming that I'm like the president of a league or whatever. So this will be my point of view. So that being said, tons of stuff to get to tonight. It's going to be great. First off, I want to say I really hope that those of you who tuned in tonight, that you get everything that God has for you tonight. And you should always be expecting God to move every time you tune into this program. It's okay if you expect my humor or if you expect me to pick your certain team to win or whatever. That's okay. Ultimately, what you need to come in expecting is for God to move. And to expect to hear from the Lord. So, the rally. Thursday, as those of you who have listened the previous couple shows you know that I had said that I was going to the president's rally on Thursday night. I went. They were projecting 5,000 people approximately would be there. It just so turns out that there were 10,000 people, 10,000 including the many who were outside who could not get in because the hangar only holds like 2,000. I got lucky and got in there, me and my mom both, and president said some really good things, really good talking points. Talked about how our country's at stake. He talked a little bit about his opponent's weaknesses. And it was a very encouraging speech. And I will say, yes, he's arrogant at times. He can be, but at the same time, he does everything that he says he's going to do. I didn't say he was perfect. I just said, like, if he says in his term he's going to do something, he's doing it. And that's what I love about our current president. And he's done a lot. Also, he's done a lot for the church. And if he gets in there, I mean, when he gets in there for four more years, I'm not going to keep doing the if. I'm just going to keep confessing by faith. And I'm going to say, when he gets reelected, chances are you'll have a couple of maybe at least one of the liberal Supreme Court justices, like Ginsburg, might retire. She needs to retire. So he could have up to two or three new conservative justices in there, at which rate you can basically say goodbye to abortion as we know it. And there'll be a really good chance that we'll get prayer back in school and we can really start getting America fixed back up. Because right now we have serious division problems right now. And needless to say, we just got to pray. And I know normally politics isn't something I normally talk about on the show. But with it being election season, number one, and two, the season that we're in right now as a country, I have to talk about it a little bit. But I don't spend all, or most even, of my shows on it. I limit it on purpose. And then the last thing I will say about the rally is he told us that on November 3rd we need to get our neighbors, get our friends together, our family together, and get out and vote. I love that he said get out and vote because obviously they want everybody to do the mail-in vote and all that kind of stuff. There's some things I saw about Google and big tech and trying to interfere with search results, which is not right because a lot of times in October is when people try is when people are undecided, try to go to Google or whatever, make up their mind, research the candidates. And we just got to pray that all this stuff gets and that it gets stopped right now. Okay. And so what I want to say to you is vote, please vote and vote Christian. Vote based on and vote up and down the ballot. Don't just vote president. If the governor is on the ballot, vote on that. If the city council is on the ballot, vote on that. If your neighbor's, if the vote to save your neighbor's cat's on there, okay, yeah, that thing, vote Bible. Don't just vote based on who's the most popular, because this isn't the high school popularity contest. Well, we get to vote for the best football player, the homecoming queen, the coolest cheerleader, the coolest, I mean, the great, best basketball player, the, you know, and all these different popularity contests, the best, you know, and all the, and all these other things. No, nope, 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 no. This is about two different directions for the country. Do we want to keep America as we know it and have our rights, our constitution, the way it was meant to be? Or do we want this radical new agenda? That is very ungodly, very unholy, and un-American. It's up to you. Vote. Make it count. And if you can get out there and vote, do it that way. And the way I look at it, if you're going to vote absentee, I really hope you have a reason. I know in my state here, they allowed no reason absentee because of a proposal that was passed by the voters last time. But I still say you should have a reason. Don't have that reason? Go out there to those polls, vote, make it count. Besides that, you vote in person, all the ballots can be counted on election day, so we can have an idea. And I am moving along. So, something that's a little bit less divisive. I mean, to me, I don't necessarily mind it. And if I felt like God wanted me to do a Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity type thing, I would gladly do it. But the thing is that's not how the show was designed. So I'm not Sean Hannity. I'm not, you know, my name is not Rush Limbaugh. My first name is River Shukla. In other words, I'm the Miracle Man, and I approve this message. Views represented here may or not represent the views of Miracle Man. Okay, they do, because I said it with my own mouth. Nonetheless, all right, now, Railside. I went to Railside Thursday for lunch, and It was, in fact, very good, the way I remember it being before. Had fish sandwich and fries. It was actually pretty full. It was, when I got there, it was the fullest it's allowed to be. Which is 50% capacity. In fact, there was a couple people in front of us. And I had, like I said, the fish sandwich and fries. It was a good cod fillet on like a sweet roll type thing. Not sweet like cinnamon, but it was like bread roll type thing. It was a good sandwich and a nice portion of fries. Basically $8.99 or $9 plus tax. It was a good meal. Believe it or not, most all the staff that works there now are from the old location. And yes, they do have the trains on the walls. It felt to me, when I was in the restaurant there, it felt to me more like Railside than what it felt like Ruby Tuesday, which is the restaurant that used to be in there. Ruby Tuesday felt more like a Bennigan's or an Applebee's or something like that. Nothing against any of those. But Railside really is good food. I mean, great food, great prices for a sit-down place. And it's a lot of good folks there. And great food. It was good. Also, wanted to remind you that McDonald's is the best place to go to grab your icy cold Coca-Cola on a fall day when you're out and about. But still the low price of just $1 a day. Wonder what a Coke, pumpkin Coke would be like. Wait a minute, scratch that. For some reason, I think it would be kind of weird, don't you? Because I was thinking about it, and I was like, unless it was a pumpkin ice cream float, that might not be bad. With root beer or something, maybe. Maybe pumpkin root beer or something, but not pumpkin Coke. Pumpkin root beer, although you might still be a little weird, you'd feel quite a lot better about it, huh? Because the caramel and the pumpkin. And I have to say, pumpkin everything is awesome. You know, all the sweets of pumpkin on them, you know, pumpkin rolls, pumpkin, whoopie pies from the Country Cook Stove Bakery. I'm located on South Eve Howard Avenue in Clare, Michigan. Open on the weekends. I really hope they made them this year. Because I want some pumpkin whoopies. And because those are my favorite of the ones they make are the pumpkin ones. Now, pumpkin pie depends on the source. And even better with the cream or something on top. Pumpkin and cream. Like the Dairy Queen Blizzard. Yummo. They actually now, new this year, they have the caramel apple pie blizzard, which is very good stuff. Tried it for the first time. It was real good. I still like my pumpkin pie one from there a little better. Because of everything I want to get to tonight, I'm going to get right into singing a couple songs. Then we're going to open the Word of God, study for a little while, and then we'll get into our sports. Our football central. So, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Singing high and lifted up, shining the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. I see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I don't want to talk about you like you're not in the room. I want to look right at you. I want to speak right to you. I don't want to talk about you like you're not in the room. I want to look right at you. I want to speak right to you. I don't want to talk about you like you're not in the room. I want to look right at you. I want to speak right to you. I don't want to talk about you like you're not in the room. I want to look right at you. I want to speak right to you. Come be the fire inside of me. Come be the flame upon my heart. Love me the moment. Love me until you and I are one. Come be the fire inside of me. Come be the flame inside my heart. Come be the flame, fire inside of me. Until you and I want. There's nothing we want more. There's nothing we want more. There's nothing we want more. More of you, Jesus. There's nothing we want more. There's nothing we want more. There's nothing we want more. More. There's nothing we want more. There's nothing we want more. There's nothing we want more, more. I'm chasing after you. I'm chasing after you. I'm chasing after you, Lord. I don't want to talk about you like you're not in the room. I want to look right at you. I want to talk right to you. Don't want to talk about you like you're not in the room. I want to look right at you. I want to speak right to you. I don't want to talk about you like you're not in the room. I want to look right at you. I want to speak right to you. I don't want to talk about you like you're not in the room. I want to look right at you. I want to speak right to you. Come be the fire inside of me. Come be the flame upon my heart. Come be the fire inside of me. Until you and I are one. Come be the fire inside of me. Come be the flame upon my heart. Come be the fire inside of me. Until you and I are one. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that you would come be the fire that's inside of us. That you would come start a revival in our hearts, in our souls. That we would just catch on fire for you, Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything you're doing in us, everything you're doing through us, Lord God. Thank you that you're with us no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're doing, no matter what the storms of life may be. That you're just right there with us. I take a minute right now. And I take authority over all sickness and disease. I take authority over all depression. And I curse all of that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I thank you for the word of God, that as we go into this word, Lord God, that these listeners will receive it. And that they will put it to use in their life. And put it into practice. And I give you all the praise and honor and glory for that in Jesus' name. And now I confess over this program, Father God, I confess that sponsors and partners are coming into this program, that finances are coming into this program, that increases in listenership are coming into this program. And most important of all, Lord Jesus, I thank you for the huge harvest of souls coming in to this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen and amen. Sorry about that. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 12. Amen. Acts chapter 12. And we're going to be dealing with the miracle of Peter being released from prison. And being this is a Miracle Man show, yes, I deal with a lot of different things on this show. And at times it's great to talk about the miracles, different miracles. Because a lot of times when we deal with miracles, they might be of the healing variety. But there's all kinds of miracles. You know, sheep being, you know, you lose something and it's found. That's a miracle. When you have like what happened to Peter, that's a miracle. You getting saved, that's a miracle. Jesus turning water into wine, that's a miracle. And we got to get to that place to where as we go through life, we'll see miracles for breakfast, miracles for lunch, miracles for dinner, midnight miracles. And miracles can just happen. So, Acts 12. Hope you were turning there while I was talking there for a second. If you're not there, then I'll have to send you maybe to New Convert School or something. Just kidding. Acts 12, I'm going to begin with verse 1. Acts 12, 1, NIV. Now it was about that time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He intended to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death by the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, He put Peter in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. So, essentially 16 soldiers. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off his wrists. Verse 8. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. Then he said, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." The angel told him, and Peter followed him out of the prison. But he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. And he thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself, and he said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter's at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angels." But Peter kept on knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the servant about this," he said. And then he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. Verse 20. Then Herod went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there for a while. They had been quarreling with the people of Tyre and Sidon. Now they joined together and they sought an audience with him. Having secured the support of Blastus, a trusted personal servant of the king, they asked for peace because they depended on the king's country for their food supply. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of a god, not of a man," immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God continued to increase and spread. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. All right, let's talk about this. So, Peter was thrown in prison. Now, Herod actually wanted to put Peter to death, but instead they just decided to throw him in prison. And the reason that Herod did this is because he did not like Jesus. He did not like Jesus at all. Hated him. He hated the work of God. He hated the work of God. He hated the word of God. So he's like, no! I'm putting an end to all this stuff. So they throw Peter in prison. The church was praying to God for Peter. They were rallying around their brother, not talking against their brother. They were praying for Peter, who was one of their leaders. They were praying for one of their leaders, who was Peter. And so these angels, like we read about, the angel, of course, there's one point he's being guarded by 16 soldiers, four squads, each with four soldiers. And then at one point, there's an angel. He wakes up Peter. Peter, get up. And he gets up. And the angel says, the chains fall off his wrist. No one took them off. They fell off. Then put on your clothes and sandals. He gets his clothes and sandals on, and he then, the angel walks them past through the gates, and then out the iron gate that leads out of the prison into the city. He goes with them for a street corner. And then he decides to go to the house of Mary. And in Mary's house, they're having a prayer meeting. And everyone's in there, you know, praying in their native languages. Lord God, protect Peter. Let Peter live. We pray for Peter. Lord God, I pray that you're protecting Peter. And they're all sitting in there, and they're all praying and out loud and everything. Rhoda goes to the door, and then she's so excited that she forgets to open it. So she runs back to the living room, or wherever they are having their prayer meeting. She runs back into the prayer meeting. And obviously she's a servant girl, so obviously she's, you can imagine, she's providing tea and coffee and water and maybe some cookies and cakes and maybe some donuts. Maybe she was making some pumpkin whoopie pies. Well, you know, she was making some pumpkin whoopie pies. And wait a minute. Who's here?
I ordered food.
What's she got? Sorry about listeners, but any sorry about that, listeners. But anyhow, listeners, what you see is so all those people, they're in there praying. But in the midst of all their praying to God, one of these people has the audacity to say, Rhoda, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. Drink some water or something. They're like, Rhoda, are you crazy? He's probably dead. And other people are like, he's a ghost. It's a ghost at the door. It's not Peter. And then they say, they decide. So they're like, well, let's go find out. So everyone leaves the prayer room, and they all work their way to the front door. Peter's at the door. Open the door for me. Open the door. They open the door, and they realize it's him, and they're all trying to hug him and everything, and he tells them, please be quiet. They tell him everything. He tells them everything, all the dream he had, and about how he thought. At first, he thought when the angel was there that it was just a dream. He thinks, you know, it's just a dream. But then he comes to his senses and realizes what happened. And then he is like, I can't believe all this happened. And I'm so happy to see all of you. And he says, but I'm going to go to another place because the soldiers may look for me here. So he goes to another place. So Herod, finding out what happened, he wonders where Peter is. Like, where's Peter? Where's Peter? Where's Peter? And obviously he's sending the FBI, the ATF, and secret services and everything else to look for him. I mean, today they sure would be, wouldn't they? They'd have the FBI, ATF, secret service, depending on what state it is, the National Guard, the Marines, the Coast Guard, and everyone else they could possibly have looking for him. like all across everywhere. But he decides, you know, they're all looking around town, you know, because Peter pretty much knew that this would happen, so he goes somewhere else. And when they can't find him, you know what Pharaoh decided to do? Have all of those guards executed. Every one of them. Every one of those guards executed dead. Then Herod goes to place. And then he puts the place of a man is ahead of the praise of a God. Herod ends up getting killed. Of course, Herod hated God. He hated Jesus. Hated him. He hated Peter. He hated James and John. He hated the ministry of the Lord. He would do everything he could. He did everything he could to try to stop the word of God from increasing. But it didn't work. The word of God kept increasing. What I want to get at is this. All those people were praying in that prayer suite, that prayer room. And it seems to me like it was a very big house. And so they're having their prayer cake, cookies. Okay, maybe they didn't have cookies back then, but I assume they were eating, you know, their figs and pomegranates and drinking their water and their drinks that they had of the day, like their teas or whatever, or their grape juice or whatever. And they're sitting there doing that and praying. But then when Peter comes to the door and Rhoda goes to answer that door, these people, a couple of these people that are in there, they decide, that's not him. It's a ghost. There's no way that's Peter outside. There's no way that's Peter. She's like, yes, it is. No, it's not. She's like, are you sure it's Peter? And they're like, then hurry. Let's go get it. But what I'm pointing out is, at first, they were praying, but for whatever reason, they were doubting. They were doubting. I don't know how you can doubt while you're praying. But they can't. I mean, they did. And maybe it was that they were thinking, I believe he'll get out, but it'll be a while. And I get it. It's not doesn't necessarily always happen that what you're believing for happens right during the prayer meeting. But this did. At their prayer meeting, this was gathered prayer. Tons of people were at the house. It wasn't just everybody from the church was at their own house praying throughout the day or whatever. Maybe some of them were praying while they were on lunch hour. Some of them were praying, you know, secretly while they're at the table at the restaurant eating their lunch. Maybe there were whatever. No, this was a corporate prayer event. And Peter decides to go to the house of Mary. The angel came because the people were praying. If the people were not praying, do I think this would have happened? No. And maybe most of the people did believe, but the one who decided to speak up first was either shocked, they were either just shocked, or they had a faith problem. And by faith problem, I mean they did not have the faith. They didn't necessarily have the faith, but they decided to pray and believe God anyway. To that I say, if you're going to pray and believe God for things, you better have faith the size of a mustard seed. You don't have to have buckets of faith. You don't have to have buckets of faith and seas of faith. No. You just have to have faith the size of a mustard seed to be able to say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done for them. Where these people were at Mary's house, and it was done as they were praying. And I'm assuming the prayer meeting was probably for at least a couple hours. Maybe it was an all-night prayer meeting. In the middle of all that prayer, Peter shows up, and but I wonder, what if Rhoda didn't go to the door? What if she just decided, that's not Peter, it's just a ghost, that's all it is. Folks, we should keep praying, I don't think it's him. What if they said, or worse yet, what if she had said, he won't come out. I just think he's dead. I don't believe. I have this doubt. He won't. What if that happened? Thankfully, that's not what happened. And when they get to the door and see it, they are overjoyed at what happened. Maybe the problem with the person who stood up maybe they didn't have doubt. Maybe they just didn't think it was going to happen that quick. They didn't think it was going to be a McMiracle. Where you pray and that thing that you believe in with is like right there, like right in the middle of you still praying. Don't worry, folks. I did not say McMiracle to try to cheapen it at all. What I was saying was, it's awesome when you get what you're believing for that instant, but it doesn't always work out that way. Because God isn't exactly the drive-thru. Much higher, much greater. And obviously he's not sitting there at the speaker thing to say 497 at the first window. or, you know, 828 first window or whatever, depending on what place, what you order. There's your total. And you go up there to get your stuff. But this happened right as all these people gathered in the house, pray, and they're believing God. In my version, it doesn't say who the doubter was, who that lady was, or that guy was, or those people were that said, she's out of her mind. It's not Peter. And then she goes to the door again. And one of the people answered the door. And everyone's gathering nearby it. They realize it's him. And they're just overjoyed. And when they hear his story, they're like so happy. And they're praising God. And they're just... They were thanking God, of course, I'm sure, even after Peter left. And before they went to their house. Of course, Peter couldn't stick around for long to celebrate him being released from prison, because he knew, basically knew in his heart, that the soldiers would be looking for him if he stayed in Mary's house. Because Mary even said, Peter, you can stay here. And he says, could be dangerous. They might look for me. What I want to say is, if you pray and you believe, if you believe, you can't just pray, you got to believe. And the door will be open. He who seeks finds. I mean, he who asks seeks. He who seeks finds. He to him who knocks, the door will be open. Peter was knocking at that door. Someone opens the door. And I'm sure even for a time, as they were praying, even Rhoda at some point, and these others, it was getting very late at night, and they're like, it's just too late. And like, nope, it's never too late when God's in charge. And they're all sitting there praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. And because of the prayers of the church, God heard it. And it was acted upon. And, you know, at times people dealt with discouragement. They stuck together and prayed until they received what they were believing for. In our life, when you're believing for something to happen in your life, you need to keep believing. Don't sit there and go, oh, it's too late. I'm too old. I'm too whatever. There's no way that this will happen. There's no way I'll get healed. There's no way that money's going to come. There's no way that... And then you get all discouraged, and then you decide, well, why should I pray even? if you do feel discouraged, you got to keep praying. You got to keep believing God. You got to keep just realizing and knowing and remembering that God is on your side. God is on our side, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, our enemies are defeated. Amen. Amen. Our enemies are defeated. The Bible says, your enemies all might come, though they might come. They come to you with the blessing of the Lord. They'll flee from you seven ways. They'll go seven different ways away from you. Seven ways that they will flee from you. Because you kept the word of God, because you put the word of God into practice, because you prayed, because you believed, because you had faith, and so what happened, you know, for the church, and what happened for Peter, that's not what you call an everyday thing. That's a miracle. Like a very special miracle. And God did that because of the prayers of the saints. And if the church prays, and if the church believes God, great things can happen. And maybe they weren't even, and I'm sure, you know, Mary was having the figs and stuff made and the making sure that the tea was ready and stuff. And for if they wanted it, and it looked like Peter was going to be killed. Brought to trial the next day and killed. But instead, Peter was kept alive because the church prayed. With God, all things are possible. All things are possible because of God. And God knew that Peter still had things to do on this earth. They knew that he still had preaching to do, and that he still had other things to accomplish for the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I thank you that we would put this into practice. I pray, Lord God, that we would always have faith and believe God for whatever it is that we're believing for. And that when that time comes, like what was about to happen to Peter, I pray that we would just have that in us to pray, believe God, not get discouraged. And whatever we're believing for in our life, may we, even if we do get discouraged, may we not give up. May we not give up. And just continue to believe God, and believe you, Lord, and just know that you're going to do what you said in your word. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen. All right. Let us talk about stock football. Football Central is back on the air now. And, of course, Football Central is always fueled by your local Dairy Queen, where you can go grab one of the great Blizzard flavors that they have for you to enjoy. All right. On Thursday night, the season opener, you had the Texans playing the Chiefs. The Chiefs beat the Texans 38-23. The Chiefs did a good job. The Texans, they put up a fight, but they couldn't stop the Chiefs' prolific offense. They could not stop them. On Sunday, you had the two games I picked for Sunday. Number one was the Lions. The Lie Downs and the Bears. And my prediction was that the Lie Downs would find a way to win the ball game. Somehow, some way, late in the game. Just somehow they'd find a way to get her done. Well, they were working very hard. They were. Lions are up by 10 points at one point in the fourth quarter. But then the Bears decide that they got a second wind, and then they decide to keep going back to work, and then they get marching down the field, get a touchdown, then they go get another touchdown. And then for the Lions' last stand, they're working hard, Lions going down the field. Stafford throws for a pass. If it's caught, it's a touchdown. But the receiver drops the ball, and it's not a touchdown. Next play, 4 seconds left to go. Stafford throws for the end zone. Knocked away as the Lie Downs fall to the Bears 28-24. And that's one way to know that things are getting more back to normal is when you know that the Lions lose again. Opening day this time at Ford Field. At Ford Field. And they blow it. Wish I had that sound thing for the, you blew it. I really wish I had that. But I don't. And they blew it. And then So Lions 0-1, Bears, I want to know. Lions will try again this coming Sunday. Now, the third game that I picked for the weekend, yesterday we had the Saints versus the Bucks on Tom Brady's debut. I figured the Saints would beat the Bucks, but I didn't think that the Saints would beat the Bucks by 20 points and win 43-23. But the Saints did that. They won 43-23. Brady did not have a particularly great day. He didn't have, and just goes to show you that he's got some work to do. And they just have work to do. And obviously the Patriots are going to look different without having Tom Brady on their side. And so it's just going to be different. And then tonight, I'll let you know what happens with tonight's Monday night doubleheader. I'll let you know what happens there tomorrow. All right. Now, kneeling, excuse me. Let me rephrase this. Players' anthem. Over the weekend, we had players across the NFL who decided to kneel, lock arms, stay in the locker room during the anthem, and some decided to raise their fists in the air. Here's what I will say. These players need to respect our flag. They need to respect our flag. And I know Colin, a few years ago, when he started this whole thing, he was like, we should not be a nation that oppresses. And he was saying that, and like there was a couple others that were kneeling too at the time, but they decided to start standing. But he didn't. Then, even last year, it looked like there was basically no kneelers left. But this year, I mean, like seven or eight, like nine different Lions knelt. Three had their fists in the air. A few of the Bears even knelt yesterday. First time that Bears ever knelt. And a couple of them knelt on the field during the anthem. Even Stafford of the Lions kneeled. Maybe that's why that pass didn't work. Stafford, if you're evaluating what went wrong on Sunday, stand for the anthem next time. Stand. Please. Stand. And the ratings on Sunday Night Football were down 30% compared to last year. 30%. And I know they're not having nowhere near as many fans in the stadium, but Josh, why do you think ratings are down 30%? Who are you talking to then? Listeners, the reason that they are down by 30% is because of the disrespect for our flag. And the owners need to make decisions. These team owners need to make decisions. Maybe what they need to do is talk to the players and say, I respect your rights and you guys have choices to make, but please stand up. If you think about, please stand up for our flag. Please respect our flag. Please. At least have the decency to stand up for the anthem, put your hands on your heart, I think the MLB and the NBA needs to do the same thing. And about the social, and you say, what about this other social justice thing? Well, to that I say, if you really care about these different causes, get involved in your communities more so. Read to those kids. I mean, work with these other groups who want to truly make a difference. Because kneeling on the field doesn't do it. Wearing that shirt that says Black Lives Matter, wearing that shirt that says Say His Name, and all this other stuff, that does nothing. Nothing. It doesn't. So, that's exactly what I would tell these owners and these athletes, assuming that I was in Roger Goodell's shoes. And I would say, it's good to see you guys. I mean, you guys need to show you care. And don't just do this thing of this whole kneeling and this whole wearing these jerseys. What you need to do instead is wear your team jerseys. Wear your, you know, stand for the flag. You know, and be true patriots. Talk about high school football. Specifically, tonight it's going to be Midland. Midland High, along with the other high school teams of the state, start their regular season on Friday. They will start with week 4 of their originally scheduled 2020 season. As for the case of Midland High, Midland will travel to, for week 4, they will travel to Saginaw High. For week 5, Midland will travel to Saginaw Heritage. For week 6, they will host Mount Pleasant. For week 7, they will go to Bay City Central. For week 8, they will host Bay City Western. For week 9, they will host Dow High. What do I expect from Midland? I would say my prediction is Midland will finish the regular season 5-1 or 6-0. Great group of seniors coming back. And I think it's going to be really good to see what they do. I'm excited for them to start getting to play and to get to hear these games on the radio, at least for now. I will talk about the capacity and what MHSAA should do and what I would do, you know, if I was, you know, have you? I will do that tomorrow evening. Listeners, until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.